the future. A relentless, desperate wasteland ravaged by nuclear war. With the destruction of the internet and search engines such as Google, accurate information about the past is traded like currency. Two brave travelers are commissioned with the dangerous task of going back through time to gather as much information as they can to find out about the late 20th and early 21st centuries in hopes that a future society may rebuild what was lost and avoid the horror of a smoldering radioactive planet. But there is a catch. The travelers' journey back across eons of time is a one-way trip, leaving them stranded in the past.
Wait, what?
There's no way to communicate their findings to the future other than burying reinforced time capsules in the ground.
Are you serious?
In the hopes that one day recordings such as these will be unearthed to provide a glimpse of the world that once was.
All right.
This is the mission of the crispy coated robots, and it must succeed.
Hey, it's Jim.
And it's Joseph.
And it's George. Welcome to Crispy Coated Robots, episode number 137. We're talking about pushovers the official request from the home office was doormat characters. So a doormat character in a film, for those that don't know that slang expression, is somebody that's a pushover or who willingly lets other people just kind of walk all over them in movies. Okay. And they oftentimes they lack drive or ambition or even opinions, sharing their opinions. So just something about them drives them to try to make everybody happy, which, you know, obviously that's not happening on this show. But they do this even at the expense of their own happiness, kind of kowtown to every order, insult they're given, no matter how ridiculous or unfair it may be to them. So movies that feature or have as maybe a secondary character a doormat character. That is what today's episode is about, kids, episode 137. And this actually is the doormat episode, because what's our second topic, Mr. Johnson?
It is the actual doormat itself. That's right. The mats that you have in front of your front or back doors to your abode.
Wow.
So, nice. Yeah. Abode. So we're talking about doormats here.
I just have a house. Jim, do you have an abode?
I got a teepee. All right. So let's go ahead and move on now. So where to start? I guess let's go ahead, since you talked about doormats. Let's do the actual doormats before the doormat character. Joseph, you go first. Mm-hmm. And if you want to explain what the doormat is and how the doormat started, that would be exciting.
Well, okay. dating several thousands of years ago, archaeologists have discovered that doormats were actually used whenever people were still living on dirt. Yes, believe it or not, people decided that doormats were necessary to make sure that the dirt inside was different from the dirt outside.
Nice. You don't want to mix those dirts.
You don't want to mix the dirts. And it comes from the original ones were made out of stuff like tree bark, then became like furs. It became woven things.
I thought you were going to say like woolly mammoths or something.
And so it wasn't until the 1660s that it really got its proper connection, okay, of what a doormat was. And this is also where the concept of a walkover, a pushover, came around as well. So the idea of doormat, not only the expression that we're using for the literal doormat, but the idea of a pushover, 1660, guys. And so in today's 20th century, this is a really interesting fun fact before we get into it.
Just to be clear, we're in the 21st century, but go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm still thinking.
And you're getting into George's Lady Elaine Fairchild territory, by the way.
No, this is good.
There's a warning going on.
Dang it. Okay. It could be raining, could be snowing, whatever, but literally there's been calculated that if you have 150 people entering and exiting, they can produce over a pound of dirt a week, tracking it in and out. And so that's why doormats are so important. So I'm very excited about this topic.
There we go.
You just beat the playoff music. We're about to start playing the music to get
you out. No, anyways, no, no, this is good.
Let's
don't
go
to him, Joseph. More doormat facts.
Joseph, go. No, go. He wants.
So there are three types of doormats that we're going to be talking about here. Okay. There's the core fiber doormats. Okay. It's made of natural fibers like coconut fibers. Okay. They're the immensely strong. The old core. There's the rubber doormat. And then there's AstroTurf, stuff like that. They're waterproof, they're resilient and all that. And then there's the polypropyl doormat, which is virtually indestructible. Okay. It's sort of a combination of rubber and other synthetics. So those are going to be the three types that we're going to be talking about today in modern doormatting.
And that's the show, everybody. Thank you for listening to JustBeGoToRobots.com is where you need to go for all the information. I believe it's time to shoot it up, George. Anyways.
Hey, Tom is going to work on a doormat for Crispy Goat Robots.
Oh, good. Nice.
Oh, nice.
Some merch.
That all will right, so probably Joseph, sell just as well as all the other merch.
What is your number five doormat, Joseph, after that big buildup?
Okay, my fifth favorite doormat is the holiday doormat. I'm talking about the one that you can put out, and this is my mother, okay, Mrs. Johnson. She has decorations for every calendar holiday of the year, and so when you're looking at it in October, it's a pumpkin or something. In Thanksgiving, it's a turkey, and of course at Christmas, it's a Christmas tree. So I'm talking holiday doormat is number five for me.
All the right, Hallmark George. The Hallmark company loves her.
I'm yes
sure. mine I've just got the custom monogram, so it's just
that's letter. My number four. That's my number four.
Okay. Well, go ahead, because I don't have anything to say about it.
This is the classy doormat. This is the one where you're like, okay, you just didn't pick this up somewhere. You had to special order it, unless you have a common name like me, Johnson, and then you can pick it up anywhere.
Well, if it's a monogram, you had a one and here in the United States speaking English, you had a 1 in 26 chance of getting the right doormat. You know,
oh, that's it makes it in personalized doormats.
Yeah, well, custom monogram. So we're talking just the letter,
just the initials.
Like for me,
I put personalized. I'm going to assume that's
a discrepancy. Oh. Take it off.
Yeah, that's a discrepancy. No match.
I got excited because mine are just sayings that are on doormats that I found funny. Like
okay,
my number five
I've got some of those.
My number five is hold on, we are probably not wearing pants.
That's my number three. That is my number three.
Wow.
Because I said
how excited he is.
The joke doormat I had on there, hold on, we're probably not wearing pants.
Wow.
You again. So there you go. We do match on that because I specifically called that one out as the joke doormat.
Wow. I did not know that. Wow.
I think Jim is stunned. Jim is absolutely stunned. I thought
no one would ever match mine. Let's just move on now to the doormat character. Wow. Number five, Joseph, who do you got?
That's going to be hard to top right there, folks.
Yeah.
Okay, from 2009, Stu Price from The Hangover. This is played by Ed Helms. The reason why I think he's my number five doormat is because Stu gets abused out of all the friends, all the characters in The Hangover series. Stu always gets the worst part of it. In the original one, you know, Stu is a henpecked guy. He has a girlfriend that he sort of has to lie to, telling her that they're going to go to the winery, you know. Instead, they take his car, and when all the debauchery happens and all that, Stu's the one that wakes up. He has blood on his shirt, a missing tooth, and he finds out that he's married to a prostitute. So that's why I think he is the doormat, because he really is the punch of the joke. You know, he is the guy that's taking it all. So there you go.
Yeah, that's on my honorable mention. So that's a good one.
What's your number five, George?
Mine is Kathy Bates as Evelyn Couch in Fried Green Tomatoes from 1991. So she's this kind of, she starts off now, a lot of mine have transformations, all right? But she starts off as this timid, miserable, overweight, depressed housewife in her late 40s who is kind of starting to grow resentful of Ed, her husband, but she goes every weekend to see his mother in a nursing home, and she comes across this woman there, Miss Thurgood, I guess. And she's this old lady that this stranger at first starts talking about her life in the 20s and 30s and 40s. And they kind of strike up this friendship. But, you know, through it all, she does become kind of in charge and kind of changes out of the doormat. And I enjoy watching that transformation. That one of the greatest scenes in there, these young girls cut her off in a parking lot. You remember this, Joseph?
Absolutely.
And,
love
are
it.
Are you crazy? And she just starts ramming her car in to them after they steal a parking spot. And she says, "Face it, girls, I'm older and I have more insurance." You know, so she kind of comes out of her shell towards the I guess second half of this movie. But Fried Green Tomatoes, Evelyn Couch,
fantastic.
All right, my doormat comes from 1996's movie Kingpin. I'm talking about Roy Munson. You've been Munson, who starts off life on top, you know, the high school boulder and stuff, eating pizza, coming into Disco Inferno. And of course, he loses it all as the doormat to Ernie McCracken, played great by the great Bill Murray, who gets him to get involved in a scam. And what happens is he ends up losing his hand and sets up the movie where he has a boulder with a hook. Yeah, spoiler with a hook. So we have him kind of like putting all these crazy situations where he has to have sex with his landlord to keep his place. And then he sees a way
out. Who hasn't been there? Yeah.
Yes. And then he sees a way out, of course, when he meets up with the Amish bowler played by Randy Quaid. But he's pretty much ran over the whole movie until he finally gets a chance at the end when Randy Quaid hurts his hand and he gets to bowl again, but loses yet again. So the constant loser, the pushover, Roy Munson is my number five doormat.
Yeah, we've talked about that movie multiple times on this podcast over the years. So
yes,
that's a good one.
Watched it. I just watched this past weekend.
I'm watching it right now.
You've been Munson.
So
here comes a verb.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Good stuff. What is your number four doormat, Joseph?
Okay, well, my number four doormat is the personalized doormat, which would include monograms on there. It could be the name of the monogram. Like I said, the whole idea behind it is you're showing a little bit of class here. It's not your generic run-of-the-mill. You actually have to make an effort. And what's nice is you get a little bit of personal information about the door that you're knocking on. You know who you're not the door belongs to. So
yeah,
you know, personalized doormat.
You know whose house you're robbing. That's nice. Hey, this is the Smiths, John and Mary. Give me all your money. George, what is your number four?
Welcome.
Wow, that's my number one.
That's my number one.
There we go. A three-way tie on that one.
It's just the best saying you can have on a doormat. Welcome.
Anybody surprised? Okay.
It's a classic. It's just a classic, you know?
Now, my number four is a play on the welcome, but it's also a shout out to Guns N' Roses. Welcome to the Jungle. See, it plays off welcome, but you're like, are we putting
that in or
no? Welcome to the Jungle is something different. It's a kind of a classic rock thing instead of welcome.
No, I know the song. Yeah, Jim.
No, I'm just saying it's different than
no. Welcome. It's two different ones. His number one was just welcome. And his number four is welcome to the Jungle.
Okay. Like this
just
house
trying
is
trying to do a good job here, boys. Yeah. Just
and you're going to die.
You're not making me feel very welcome.
You're in the jungle, baby. You're going to die. All right. Let's move on now back to number four, doormat character. Joseph, what you got?
Nigel from the 2006 The Devil Wears Prada, played by Stanley Tucci. This is a heartbreaking one because basically, he's the senior art director in this fake magazine it's called Runway. It's based on Vogue. And he is underneath the tyrant, terrible boss, Miranda Priestly, played by Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
And Tucci, you know, is a guy that knows his stuff and all that. And basically what happens in the middle of the film is that he gets very excited because he's been promised this job working for this other magazine to be the boss. And he's like, finally, after years and years of paying my dues, you know, I'm going to finally get it. And because there is like politics going on with Meryl Streep's character and all that, she ends up giving the job to her rival instead so she can protect her own job. And it's just really sad. You know what I'm talking about here, George, when he he finds out at the where he thinks that they're at this gala and he's going to be announced as the new one, and they announce the other person, and he just sits there and just dies his time.
He just melts.
Melts and all that. So that's my number four, Nigel from The Devil Wears Prada.
George, you're number four.
Mine is Christopher Reeves as Clark Kent in 1978 Superman the movie. So as a means to protect his identity for the future, Kal-El, Superman, works at Metropolis at the Daily Planet, a newspaper, as this mild-mannered reporter, Clark Kent. And this character, guys, you'd say he's awkward and bumbling and clumsy, complete opposite of Superman, to kind of conceal, you know, who he is. Little fact, Christopher Reeve based his version of Clark Kent on Cary Grant, the role in Bringing Up Baby, if you've ever seen that movie.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
He kind of just did a mimic of him. But that is my number four, Christopher Reeve as Clark Kent.
All right. My number four is the dim-witted anti-villain from the classic 1972 film The Godfather. I'm talking about Fredo Corleone, whose famous line was, "You pass me over, I'm your older brother, Mike! I'm your older brother!" You have, of course, when, spoiler alert, Sonny is killed, that the power goes to Michael Corleone. Fredo was sick as a kid, and they consider him weak since then. And then he ends up betraying the family too, and you have the great scene in Godfather Part Two. But throughout the whole movie, in a search for respect and being a truly wimpy character, he never gets it, and then ends up getting killed by his own brother at the end of the movie. So,
So I'm going to bring up a callback here, Jim.
Yeah.
As much as I disagree that Fredo is a rival, I think he is a total doormat. So I'm totally approving this choice of yours. I think Fredo definitely is a doormat.
Oh no,
so,
yeah, that's a yeah.
Good I job.
Mean, that, yeah, because I just the movie, especially, I mean, brother being completely passed over, not even thought of as leading the family. You're just such a, like I said, dim-witted person that you're not even even considered. So that's why he's.
Like he's given menial tasks. He doesn't even really get to like go and control Vegas.
Yeah.
They just send him down there so he can get, so people can babysit him.
Something to do.
Yeah. So there we go. That's my number four selection. We are
back
now
to
number three doormats.
Joseph approved, by the way.
Thank you. It's Joseph
approved. Joseph approved.
Put a stamp on that. Because he's in the jungle, baby. No, so
I've already done my number three. Hold on, we're probably not wearing pants.
Oh wow!
So,
okay,
already George, done.
What is yours?
Number three. This Is Us, not the TV show. just This Is Us.
Does it have a stick figures, or is just This Is Us on there?
No, it's just simply three words. This Is Us.
Okay.
Kind of like, did we need that? But okay.
All right.
I was just trying to think of the ones that I've seen.
I'm glad you guys did the research on this.
But no, I've got a number one that has to be voted for. It is the greatest doormat I've ever seen in my life. It's not my doormat. I'm telling you, I am not joking. You're gonna love it.
Okay.
And it's a real doormat. I didn't make it up. It's a real doormat.
My number three is, I guess, the movie fans' doormat. It is probably watching .. scary movies, sports movies, comedy movies, whatever they custom make on their doormat. So they're announcing that they are moving fans .. probably watching .. and scary movies. So there you go. That wraps up the number three. So I believe it's intermission time already here on the show. Wow. Tom's really getting some good stuff today. Three garbage trucks, not one, not two,
three
garbage trucks. Each one of us are going to take the driver's seat.
Do battle.
You guys ready for garbage truck wars? Whoa, what are you doing, Jeff?
That wasn't me. I do recycle only.
Hey, there's Charlie Sheen in Emilio Estevez. Men at Work reference.
Nice. No one will know it.
Greatest garbage movie ever.
Hate riding in the front of the truck. What reference is that?
I don't know.
Southern drawl.
Hey, I'm trying to listen.
Toy Story 4. Or is it 3? Which one is it? 3? Toy Story 3?
I'm just showing this to George.
Woo! That was awesome. Thank you, Tom.
That was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
That was. I'm not going to say that. That was a good one.
All right. Number three, doormat, actor, role, person. Who is it, Joseph?
Okay. 2001, Todd from Zoolander. This is the Mugatu's personal assistant who always gets coffee thrown in his face. And it's so weird because you don't know if they're like lovers or not, because they sort of like have this intense smoldering look at each other. You don't know if he's just like an acolyte of Mugatu, but he's definitely a doormat because he's constantly being berated by Mugatu and yet somehow is devoutly, you know,
Yakabi.
Yakabi, exactly.
You find out later it's Jacob.
No. So there you go, Todd.
All right. Todd. Nice.
No matches on the doormat character.
No matches at all. Let's keep it going, George. My
number three is Shelley Duvall as Wendy Torrance in The Shining.
Ooh, okay. Yes.
And to be clear, the character in the novel is a very independent, defiant woman, not just a prop for Jack's madness. The character in the book is a woman who spent years trying to keep her family together and everything, but the movie just reduced her to this real weak archetype, and she's constantly walking on eggshells around Jack to keep him from blowing up. And very early on, like in the very first part of the movie, it's implied that Jack, the character of Jack, has an anger issue and a problem with alcohol. But that when Wendy is with that social worker and she's kind of, it's my fault. Jack's a good man and a good father, and, you know, kind of overcorrects the everything to try to keep everything from boiling over. But she comes off just meek and annoying. But Shelley Duvall as Wendy.
All right. My number three is played by Aaron Rule in his great one-hit wonder of a role. He plays a soft-spoken gentleman who loves technology, who lives with his brother and his grandma in Preston, Idaho. And I'm talking about Kip Dynamite from the movie Napoleon Dynamite, who is meek and ran over the whole movie and hit on by Napoleon and Uncle Rico and everybody in the movie until he meets LaFonda online, who we think is not even going to be even a real
person. Yeah.
But he comes into his own when he meets his actual babe that he's been saying he's been talking to the whole movie on his computer and to only be too confronted by Napoleon. And even the stance of the actor is just like, I'm a doormat. I have no strength. Even when he gets into a punching duel and says he is a martial artist, that's when Napoleon hits him. He goes, oh. So one of the great Wim characters of all time, Kip Dynamite from Napoleon Dynamite, is my number three. So
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're moving now to number two. Doormat, what you got, Joseph?
So my final entry for actual doormats is the artificial grass doormat. This was like basically the whole 70s, the entire 70s, everyone had the artificial grass.
With Daisy.
I'm so glad you pointed that out, Jim. With Daisy. That made the doormat complete. because it was cheap. Normally it was reserved more for the back door than the front door, you know, but everyone had it. Everyone used it, you know, the artificial grass doormat.
All right, nice. George, nice. You're number two.
Again, this is just a saying on the doormat, and it is home, sweet home.
Motley Crue?
Wow. Motley Crue song, home, sweet home.
But it was used a long way, you know, traces
no,
way back.
No, it wasn't. It came after that song.
Mine was... My number two is that one that given to, I think, my daughter, because she has two dogs. And anybody with dogs can relate to this one. It was, geez, there's a lot of dogs in there. Because when you ring the doorbell, it's like, burr! You don't know, somebody barking, you know how many dogs are in there. So this actual place, doormat said, geez, there's a lot of dogs in there.
Nice.
There you go. So that's my last entry, too. So I believe George, we'll come back to George's astounding number one. He's the only one left. But let's go back.
When you hear this, you're going to want to go online and buy it. I'm not joking.
Let's go back to number two, doormat character, Joseph.
Number two, Amos Hart, the only entry of doormats to have his own song, Mr. Cellophane. I'm talking about Chicago 2002, played by the fantastic John C. Reilly, who is basically a doormat because he's married to Roxy Hart, Renee Zellweger, who not only cheats on him, but kills the man who she cheats on with and tries to get him to cover up the actual murder itself, which he refuses to do. But he's just like, no one cares about me. I'm Mr. Cellophane. No one ever notices me. He is the doormat of doormats. So there you go. Amos Hart.
All right, George, you're number two.
I'm just getting this on the board here. my number two is Crispin Glover as George McFly.
It's my number one. Future.
All right.
Oh, nice. A match.
The ultimate doormat right there. Yeah.
So what do you got to say, Jim?
Well, I mean, obviously the whole movie, he is the ultimate doormat, you know, just completely ruled by Biff. And that's why when the future is changed, spoiler alert, at the end, to see where he's come from the one time he stood up for himself, it really does make the movie. But George, go ahead and elaborate on that.
We get to see the present, the past, and then the present changed, like Jim said. In the past, he constantly allows this just high school bully, Biff Tannen, to berate and mock him. And in the present, before we go back to the past and with Marty and Doc, we see that he's just dominated. Biff is his supervisor, and he hasn't developed the courage to stand up for himself, or even worse, his wife, which depresses her so much that she becomes an alcoholic and a smoker and overweight and everything, because the man she married, whom she loves, just is this horrible wimp. But the story of George McFly's life will be rewritten when Marty goes back and and empowers him to stand up to Biff and change everything. So George McFly.
Yes.
I'm embarrassed I don't have this on my list, guys. I'm embarrassed. I should be. This is a big miss on my part. I admit it.
Yep, yep. My number two, my last entry, is from the movie Role Models. It was 80 Miles playing Martin Gary, the consummate visitor to Sturdy Wings, the consummate big brother that no one really pays attention to and gets thrown all the other littles when everybody else is messed up or don't want them. And he does his own little shtick. He's eternally optimistic. He seems to think Wings wrote a song called Love Take Me Down to the Streets. and Paul Rudd just kind of blows him off completely in the movie because he's one of those super nerd characters. Great lines I think they're making s'mores, and one of the characters says, I'm going to use white chocolate. He says, oh, I don't know if I agree with that. but no one really pays attention to him. And we find out in the unrated cut that he actually has a crush on the Jane Lynch character. He never acted on that. Never even considers him a sexual being. We do. And we get to see him take a dump in a bucket too, in front of everybody. So 80 Miles as Martin Gary from Role Models is my number two. So we're moving now to number one. This is it. This is it.
This George is the number wait, wait, one. Wait. Before you say this, George, do you own this doormat?
I do not own it yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. Okay.
So, but
wait a minute. Can we guess it real quick before?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hello, is there intelligent life out there?
No, that's lame.
in a house far, far away?
Nope.
Joseph, you have any guesses?
Let me think. This George's ultimate one?
Yeah.
To go where no man has gone before?
No, here it is. Y'all shut up. This is a real doormat. Our house looks like we're losing a game of Jumanji.
I saw that one.
Have you seen it?
I saw that one. I actually saw that one.
I think it's great because it gives you an excuse. If your house is a wreck, it's Jumanji.
I know it's movie related.
I like it.
I thought it was either going to be like Lord of the Rings or Yes related, but that's even better. So it's good.
Very, very, very anticlimactic. I just thought it was hilarious.
I thought it'd be like, I'd rather be listening to Yes, you know, or something like that, or probably listening to Yes.
Oh, that's stupid.
Give me another 30 minutes.
Probably watching Return of the King. Anyway, okay, so let's move on now. My number one is done. Yeah, that would be a good one for you, George, probably watching Return of the King. Is that the best one?
I like the Two Towers.
Okay.
I like the Two Towers.
Probably watching the Two Towers. Okay.
I'm a fan of the Fellowship, where they all come together.
You have the first rats. One?
Yeah.
The first?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the one I fell asleep in. I didn't watch the rest of the series because it just seemed like the horse was just, they were just doing things. And then the horse came out of nowhere. And they all started running.
And then Jim went back to sleep.
That would wake me up. That was the part. It's like, it was all quiet there in the Shire and stuff. And all of a sudden.
Yeah. Right. The ring rates. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's move on to number one. Doormat character.
Nothing to do with the doormat, you know.
Who you got, Joseph?
Okay, as apologetic as I am about George McFly missing that one, Jim.
Yeah,
you missed a huge one because my number one, I think, is the ultimate doormat. I know you said George McFly.
Oh, wait a minute! I think I know what you're going to say, and I did miss it. If you say it,
a birthday cake, a basement, and a swing line stapler.
Okay, what am I talking about? Even though he was laid off, this is my number one. Even though he was laid off 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years
nobody told
him. No paycheck. He hasn't been paid.
No. He's getting a paycheck because a glitch in the system. They fix the problem and then he stops getting a pay. They recognize the problem that he you know, was laid off a long time ago, and they fix it. But yeah, who are we talking about?
We are talking about Milton from the Office Space 1999.
Yeah. I'm in a fire.
I mean, the whole birthday cake scenario is just so sad because
Milton pass.
He's passing along the cake.
Bill Lumberg's birthday party. Yeah.
He doesn't get a cake. It's just so sad. It's great that he, you know, the way he ends up, spoiler, you know, he ends up, you know, getting,
check. He gets all the money that the other character stole.
Yeah.
But what I love is he is still a loser on that tropical island, whatever it is.
Exactly. Yeah. Excuse me, my pina colada.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful.
So I think it's great, you know. Stephen Root.
So George, this is your number one. I thought you were going to say, and I thought about it. I was like, I can't believe I didn't think of this. And it wasn't even Milton. It was Henry Winkler as Chuck Lumley in Night Shift.
That's an excellent one.
With the great lines of the haircut, the barber. Oh, you like it that way. Oh, you send the sandwich back, the guy spits on it, you know, Michael.
That's right. You are absolutely right.
I've got that on my honorable mention as well as it escapes me now. Oh well, forget it. Never mind.
so we agree on our number one, then yes. Milton gets in. So that's good. Everyone's number one gets in.
The only other honorable mention I had was Woody Allen. I think it's Fleming Mellish in Take the Money and Run. That character where he goes into a life of crime. Yeah.
I have Cal Newton Jr. in Talladega Nights because he's always number two. No, I'm number one. That's my thing. I'm number one. You're number two. And he sort of just takes it the whole time, you know? So that's
Riley. Yeah.
Yeah. No, John C. Riley. He specializes. So, in the doormat. So,
all right. So, where do we go? Doormats or doormat characters first?
To follow? Oh, I was going to say Grodin. That's
the lonely guy.
Grodin and the lonely guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would take a nap, but the shock of waking up twice a day.
It's just going to have a slice of pizza.
The reason Grodin didn't make my list is you never see him interact with anybody but Steve Martin. and Steve Martin doesn't mistreat him. So I thought that would be a technicality that he's just kind of depressed, but he's not a doormat.
But he does interact with somebody else that mistreats him. That's the chess machine. That's the little electronic chess.
Well, I didn't know we could be, I didn't know it could be robots. So,
moves 3, 4, 8 when you played like an a-hole. Good stuff. All right, so are we doing the sorry part? Or are we going to vote now? I'm always confused on this.
I got pushed over on this one, guys. I don't have one this week. I'm sorry. I'm a doormat.
An excuse not to do one.
lazy doormat.
I guess
Tom, he doesn't. Stop it.
We didn't do anything wrong. I guess it's a good thing, huh?
We're not sorry. This week we are not sorry for a thing.
Yeah, we don't suck. Yeah.
We don't suck.
Okay.
And George agrees to it.
I agree to that title. We're not sorry and we don't suck. Yes.
All right. So let's do doormat characters first.
All right. So we've got George McFly from Back to the Future and Milton. That we know those two are making it into the canister. The ones that we have to choose from, Martin from Role Models, Amos Hart from Chicago, Kip Dynamite, Todd from Zoolander, Fredo from The Godfather, Nigel from The Devil Wears Prada, Roy, did I spell that right?
No, but anyway, it's Munson. It's Munson like Thurman. Well, you couldn't spell Thurman Munson either. So
okay.
Anyway, we get it. We get it.
Roy
Munson
here.
Roy M.
Kingpin. Stu from The Hangover. Wendy from The Shining. Clark Kent from Superman, the original Superman movie, and Evelyn Couch in Fried Green Tomatoes.
I'm going to go for Fredo just because, like I said, as much as I disagreed with Jim on him being a rival, I definitely agree with Jim that he is a doormat.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm going to make a pitch that we need some female doormat in here. Either of these two ladies or both.
I think that Shining is a movie.
I think she's domestically abused. I don't know if she's a doormat. She is a doormat, but she's domestically abused. If so you want to go with that, that's fine.
We'll save that for the best spousal abuse in movies.
Which we will not be doing. Yeah.
So Evelyn?
I think Evelyn's good because Evelyn is Sarah Michelle and she does get pushed over. And you are right. That is such a brilliant scene. We're younger and faster.
Yeah.
And her response is older.
Older and have better insurance. What I like about it is it's not just by her husband, Ed. You see a pattern of a lot of people.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've talked about fried green tomatoes on this show. Here's the trivia question. Who is the writer of Fried Green Tomatoes, the book?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember her name.
She was a regular on the Match Game.
Really?
She wore the original Bull shirt on TV.
Are you kidding?
No. Fanny Flagg. Fanny Flagg, who was in Match Game. Bam. Boom, ba da bum, dum, ba dum, bam. Today on the Match Game, Jim Backus, but bam, boom. Richard Dawson, Fanny Flagg, bam, boom, ba da bum, dum. George,
what?
Next selection is blank.
So, what was she doing on the show? I mean, was she an actress or?
No, she wrote the book.
And that's the only reason? That's all it took to get on Match Game?
No, she wrote the book after Match Game. She was like an actress, yeah.
Oh, okay.
George,
a moment of nice confusion. Segue, guys. We're doing a nice 40 minute kind of episode here.
George didn't understand blank.
Yeah. Okay. So Evelyn Couch, fried green tomatoes,
out and stuck it in her fourth. Blank. Boom.
All right, we need one more, gentlemen.
Just saying, Amos Hart has his own song. He has his own song singing about being Kip a doormat.
Dynamite is the ultimate personification of wimpiness.
Stu was on my honorable mention.
I can't believe I didn't put Chuck from Night Shift on there.
That would totally got the vote for me too.
Yeah, I know, because just because of the every scene is a pushover scene when the guy is asking for the money with the saxophone and he brings out his checkbook and then the you know, the haircut. You got one sideburn up here. You got one down in the Fort Lauderdale.
So do we want to modify? Do you want to take something else off? And
I can Chuck change out there? Martin for Chuck Lumley if I have to. I would have done that. I do like Martin. It would have been
the
like
future's that. Counting on this. What do we want to do? Do we want to do
that? Yeah. If you do that, I'll vote for it, Jim.
All right. Chuck Lumley is in. Henry Winkler. And he also played a pushover in Waterboy too. Coach Klein. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. The other coaches would berate him and he would like run away.
Yeah. Wow.
This and is also, okay, so that's, if you've seen the show Barry, He's a little more aggressive, but
yeah, still Jim Cousineau,
that there's still those tendencies there.
Yeah.
So. What's so great about this role for Henry Winkler is that really, you know, he's coming off of playing Mr. Cool the Fonz, you know, and to see him play something completely different. I remember the first time watching going, I can't believe this is the Fonz.
Yes.
From the first scene to it, when he takes over for the guy who takes over his shift during the day. And he's like, oh, yeah, Chuck, I know you'll take care of it. Name of deceased, something Polish.
I just remember, and this is the first movie I ever saw Michael Keaton in. And he's got that tape recorder. This is Chuck telling, what was the name of the character?
Chuck and Bill.
Yeah, this is Chuck.
Shut
telling
up.
Bill to shut
up. Up.
This is Chuck telling Bill. What about Rabbit? This is Chuck. All right. So here's what we end up with, gang. Evelyn Couch and Fried Green Tomatoes, George McFly and Back to the Future, Milton and Office Space, Fredo in The Godfather. And the first time it's ever happened, we actually modified the list.
I've actually forgot somebody. Yeah.
Chuck from Night Shift. So
that's great. That's great list.
Well deserved. The future will be pleased. For doormats, we have two that match. welcome. Actually, that's a three-way match there. And then the infamous, hold on, we're probably not wearing pants.
I'm going to say we can go with personalized monogram because I think they're the same thing. That was the intent.
Okay. I think you got to put the artificial grass with the daisy in there too.
Okay. So we got room for one more.
The 70s.
Here's what we had to choose from. I know it was a time of macrame and artificial turf. We've got This Is Us, not the TV show. Home Sweet Home, my favorite. Our house looks like we're losing a game of Jumanji. We've got the holiday one that Joseph's mother is putting out right now for whatever the next holiday
has 14 doormats, ladies and gentlemen. I'll let you think about which holidays they are.
Wow. one gets switched mid month. Right. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's the Yom Kippur
match. That's when Arbor Day gets switched to Flag Day or something.
Like, oh wait, it's daylight savings time. Put the mat out. Welcome to the jungle. Go ahead, Jim.
Welcome to the jungle. You're gonna die. You're gonna enter the door. You're in the jungle, then, baby. You're gonna doormat. You're gonna die.
Then probably watching insert whatever show.
Lord of the Rings.
Geez, there's a lot of dogs in there. So we need one more to send to the future.
Oh no, I think you got to put the classic Home Sweet Home. I didn't even think about that.
Home Sweet Home.
Yeah.
I'm going home. Yeah. Okay. So there we go. Welcome, Home Sweet Home. Hold on. We're probably not wearing pants. The personalized monogram, which is just a big catch-all for everything. And welcome to the 70s artificial grass.
With the daisy.
With the daisy. With daisy. Okay. Let me add that.
The daisy is very important because the daisy always falls off too. That's the first thing to go.
Exactly.
The daisy is the first thing to go. And then you have like this little spot at the top of it. Like what was there? Oh, the daisy fell off.
Sad.
So sad. Because people will rub their shoes on it and the daisy is like just not
that's made it. For that. A little bit mud on the boots.
All right. CrispyCoatedRobots.com is where you need to go for all the information. Find out what albums we're listening to. And you can check out online.
Oh, by the way, Joseph, I missed an episode and Joseph filled in for me. I appreciate you doing that a few weeks ago with the Lionel Richie album. You did a really good job. That was really, really good. Oh,
thanks, man. Thanks. No, I mean,
seriously.
He's a big fan. He was so happy about it. He was dancing on the ceiling. Ba-dum-psh.
Yeah, that was a different album, actually. but thanks, Jim.
Sorry. Hello. I should have remembered that.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
I was stuck on the other album. So. Nah. Sorry about that, George.
It was a good job.
We can talk about this all night long, all night.
Well, what's the made-up word they had on that one?
Jumbo.
Yeah, jumbo.
Yeah. Check that out, though, folks. That was a good album, and they both did a great job. I might not ever need to do one of those.
Come on now.
Check out. We got you signed up for Invisible Touch Genesis next.
Yeah, touch this. So, okay.
Whoa.
Crispy. Whoa. Wow. That's not invisible. But
No, it's not.
He took out his blank. Bam, boom, ba-da-boom, boom, ba-da-boom, bam, boom.
Nice. Nice callback.
Tomato. Brett Summers, what's your answer? I have to go with that.
It's fried green tomato.
Yeah. Fried green tomatoes. Ding! Okay, enough nonsense. CrispyCoatedRobots.com is where you need to go. And George, you can go ahead and end the show.
Remember.
You're in the jungle, baby! And you're gonna die! Sorry, George, finish it up.
It's done.